Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, a pastor at St. John some years ago, an eighth grade girl came to me after worship and said, "How do you pray?" Her parents did not pray. They didn't ask her or teach her how to pray. So a confirmand in my class told her to come to church. She came at the end of the worship service. She asked me, "Would you teach me to pray?" So I asked her to attend the confirmation class as we were beginning to talk about the Lord's Prayer, what it is, how to pray, when to pray, that we would learn Jesus' petitions of each of that prayer. And so I told her, praying is like talking on the telephone. Begin by addressing God as you would say hello to a friend. Talk to God, even though you cannot see God, just as you cannot see your friend on the telephone. Well, she came the following week, and each class member took time to pray, at the beginning of the class and sometimes at the end. And finally, she began to pray with the class. She adapted so well, I'm told that she's willing to pray at any function, church functions or social functions. So I guess the girl learned how to pray. In many ways, this young girl is like those disciples who came to Jesus long ago when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Often, people find themselves desiring to pray but don't know how to pray or what words to use. So often, they don't have the correct words or the right words. And especially in our society today, when we worry about using the correct pronouns of he or she or him or her or they, you and I can echo the words of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Through the centuries, people have prayed to God by addressing and using different names. Whatever words we use to address God, the gospel writer of Luke uses the word Abba to begin the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father. When his disciples requested Jesus to teach him to pray, he used that word again, Father, Heavenly Father. Now, technically, I share with you that there are some people in the church who advance that the Matthew's version is the correct version of the Lord's Prayer. However, many biblical scholars tell us it's Luke's version that's closest to Jesus' language, which is Aramaic. And so Luke's version is one that's taught many times. Be that as may, last week we talked about Mary and Martha, how Mary listened to Jesus' words. Today we listen to Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. Some people have a difficult time to pray because those disciples had learned John the Baptist's way of praying. They learned those rabbinic traditions and expectations. You pray three times a day in the proper place and posture for prayer. No wonder they came to Jesus and asked Jesus, teach us to pray. It was not based on ignorance that they came. They wanted to know how Jesus prayed, because obviously they saw Jesus praying, much in the wilderness and wherever. They wanted to listen to Jesus pray. So he taught them this prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, the first thing I notice in this prayer is that Jesus introduces us to Abba, dear Father, we translate it. Prayer is not an appeal to a judge in the sky. It's not a wish to some supernatural spirit or Santa Claus figure. Jesus asks us to address God as he would to a parent, to a protector. Just as a child approaches his parents, this is the image that Jesus gives us when we approach God and address prayer. In his book, You Can Make a Difference, college professor and motivational speaker Tony Campola addresses this son and says, "I have a 20-year-old son. I cannot imagine him walking into a house and saying, 'Oh, thou chairman of the sociology department at Eastern College, Father, thou wilt clothe me, feed me, provide me with thy good gifts and perfect good gifts. I beseech thee this day, lend me thy car. He said, that's not the way we talk this day, is it? He said, no, my Italian boy would come into the house, throw his arms around me and say, hi, Dad, can I borrow your car? It's because he loved his father and his father loved him so much that they could address each other in such beloved ways. And that's really, I think, what Jesus is doing in this prayer. He's really teaching us to identify God in a very intimate way. This is the attitude. Jesus' prayer is fulfilled with honor and glory and power and love. And there are times for formal prayer. But when you and I pray and address God, we address God in a very intimate way. We feel close to God. We trust God as a child trusts a parent. So the first word is Father, Abba. You notice it's not ruler or Lord or sovereign, but dear Father, a term of intimacy. Unlike that first grader in Connecticut who prayed, our Father who art in New Haven, how do you know my name? Now, God is reachable and not distant. Yet Jesus teaches us this relationship that's very intimate. God does know our name. And so I recognize that in addressing God as a parent, I become a child addressing a loving, caring parent. No formal correct terms are needed. Just simply say, Father in heaven. Because as St. Paul would tell us, we are God's children. We have the rights and privileges, royal heirs that we inherit. We are God's children. God is our heavenly Father. So he invites us to this very close, intimate relationship. He invites us to assume this attitude, to pray with confidence, as Jesus tells us. The one we pray to, the one who is worthy of our love and trust. Because God loves and trusts us so much, Jesus is telling his disciples. So we pray, knowing that Jesus teaches us a specific way to address the Heavenly Father and gives us the Holy Spirit to fill us with strength and courage to live each day. Because Jesus said, God knows our love and need for mercy. God loves us and wants us to endure, to be creative. And the good news is that Jesus knows that God doesn't ask us to manufacture it for ourselves or to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps or to get on with it. Jesus is really telling us, come, address your Heavenly Father. Talk to God in prayer. For all those daily living, for those things from day to day, think like food and water and shelter and friends, favorable weather, meaningful work and play. Yes, enough to eat, water to drink, a safe place to sleep. He's saying to his disciples, pray about your everyday needs, and God will sustain you. Remember, we are dependent upon God's grace and mercy each and every day when it comes down to it. And again, if you look at this prayer, you notice that Jesus says to them, pray about forgiveness, both for your own sins and for the ways we've been unable to forgive others. Jesus knows we need to be released from our sins. He knows that we need to forgive one another. And sometimes we're so caught up in our own needs, our own desires, we forget to forgive as Jesus taught us. I say that because in these recent years, I've noticed that a number of times in funerals and weddings, people don't know the Lord's Prayer. They may have been taught the Lord's Prayer way back when, but they don't know it. If they knew it, they have forgotten it. And Jesus continues to ask us to use that prayer, to think of it once and again. Prayer. How often do we pray? Especially in summer times, sometimes we forget to pray. But we need to pray daily, constantly, because Luke's gospel teaches us about Jesus' prayer. To be persistent in prayer, to be faithful to our Lord. and persistence is the third thing I see about this prayer. When Jesus teaches us in the gospel reading, he's talking about our need to be persistent, to be clarified, to identify our needs. Because God's grace will help our immature faith and our lack of persistence. Maybe that's why Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask and you shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and you shall be opened." And then he concludes, "The Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit will give to those who ask." I think the point here this morning is that God will give us, his followers, the Holy Spirit to be persistent in our prayers, to seek God's word, to live our faith. So when the disciples begged Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus did not disappoint them. He spoke to them of intimacy in prayer, the confidence of praying, the persistence in prayer. And like a master teacher, Jesus taught them about the importance of prayer. As Martin Luther would say, God wants us to know that we come to believe he is truly our Father, we are truly his children, in order that we may ask him boldly with complete confidence, as a loving children ask their father. But you know, there's something else about this prayer. It's not just talking to God, but it's listening to God. It's listening to God, listening to God's voice. And I think that's part of this prayer this morning, listening to God. As Jesus went out, he listened. In fact, as one professor said in seminary, the reason God gave us two ears and one mouth is we're to listen to each twice as much as we are to speak. Interesting, isn't it? Two ears to listen, one mouth to speak. So God calls us to listen to God as well as to speak. And I hope that this summertime we're able to listen to God, God speaking to us in that still small voice, through the words of scriptures, through hymns and poets and songs and authors, through families and friends, through loved ones, because there are many ways of listening to God. We must be open to God, the divine voice, who speaks to us. As St. Paul would say, "Rejoice, everyone, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ for you." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.